above the horizontal.
Pushes away from McCulloch. Thurston gets the ball to Morgan. Morgan crosses the 20. Comes away to O'Neill. Gets the ball. Belt. Belt has scored. Belt has scored in the corner.
Welcome to Above the Horizontal, a podcast about NRL. I'm your host, Bo Nicholson. On this episode, we will be discussing our Players of the Week for Round 3, as well as our Wildcard Awards for the round. We will be discussing our most delusional takes in the NRL before dissecting whether the Rabbitohs are indeed completely cooked or if this is just a blip. Before giving out our predictions for the upcoming Round 4, we will also hear from the Big E, Owen Gibson. Joining me tonight are Kieran Gibson and Chris Waring. Gibbo, thanks for joining us today. Who is your player of the week in round three?
I have Tedesco for his performance on Friday night. I thought it was some of his best work I've seen for a while. And I guess just the way the Roosters have started the season, it's helped Tedesco to just focus on his own game. And Andrew John summed it up well, saying that he's not trying as hard, and I think that's got to do with the Roosters kind of gelling as a team a bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. He was. I think Ennis would say
phenomenal
because he was everywhere in that game. James Tedesco. I love seeing him back in this sort of form. And I remember last year we were talking about, oh, he probably won't be New South Wales fullback next year, whatever. I don't know. He's in pretty good touch. Chris Waring. Thanks for joining us. Who's your player of the round?
My player of the round, Bo, is Appy Coruscant for the phenomenal Tigers win over the Cronulla Sharks at the magnificent and beautiful Leichhardt Oval. as has been reported, played with gastro, was in a pretty poor state by all reports. And I mean, I remember watching this live. I remember, of course, the camera shot to him just chucking his guts up at one point, so I thought he might have got winded or something, but then it turned out later that he was, he's actually quite sick and put in just, an incredible performance. So my player of the week is Appy Coruscant.
And a great win for the Tigers too. Some might say
phenomenal.
Yes, I will use the joke twice in 1 minute. That's fantastic. I loved both of those choices. I think they're both well in the conversation for representative football, of course. And very well deserved. I very nearly picked both of them. I went with someone maybe a little bit, maybe slightly underrated for the impact they had. I was watching the Eels and Seagulls game on Sunday, and the Seagulls went out to a 14-0 lead until two people came on, Ryan Madison and Junior Paolo. And I'm going with Junior Paolo for my player of the week, just for the impact he had on the game and the result. In 31 minutes, he only played 31 minutes. He managed a try assist, four offloads, and 126 meters gained with only 11 tackles, but at 100% efficiency. And I think most importantly, he just turned that game on its head. I don't think they win without Madison and Junior Paolo. So someone else that will be in the representative conversation for sure. Chris Waring, what's your wildcard award this week?
Yeah, so I kind of alluded to it with a bit of sarcasm in the player of the week. So I'm just going back to an old classic. I'm just going to go the Flog of the Week award. it's gone to Brent Reed, who described the Leichhardt Oval as the eighth blunder of the world. Obviously, a hilarious play on words here.
Very clever. Now,
very clever. So I don't view it as a coincidence that there's some story being created after the Tigers win, because News Corps are like vultures and they just must extract clicks, with the Tigers being topical because they won a game finally. So if it's hard to describe if you haven't been to Leichhardt Oval. I don't think either of you have, but it's a great ground. It's very suburban. Yes, it's underdeveloped, right? It's a bit dodge. But as a Tigers fan, some of my favourite ever rugby league moments have been at that ground when I've been there. And look, I don't think anyone's arguing that it should be, the main home game, obviously. And there's discussions around, will they have another home ground? Well, yes, the Tigers are an amalgamation club. Thank you for pointing that out. That they also have a ground in Campbelltown. Everyone understands that if you're not born yesterday. But there should be some, I understand it's a government, the political reasons for this, of course, Leichhardt area as a green seat, so neither Liberal or Labor state governments have any desire to spend money there because there's no votes to be won specifically, unlike Penrith, which is a swing seat federally and at state level. So I just think it's sad the direction it's going to go in because it's a magnificent ground and it's important for rugby league culture and, you know, the locality of which rugby league is born from. It's born out of New South Wales, right? And all these, this is why, you know, so a lot of our teams don't really make sense in light of a national competition, but that's the history. And if we respect history and rugby league history, then the Leichhardt Oval should be protected and upgraded. So it's a, you know, it's a feature. Again, it's not a commonality. It's not, it shouldn't be there every week, but it should be a feature in every NRL season for at least a couple of games. So yeah, just some of the dialogue around it has been, I guess, disappointing, and it doesn't look too great for the future.
Not to mention, like, yeah, you're not asking for much, are you, at that point? I guess it's just, like, preserve it at the very least and let it keep its history and its identity. And even if that means only a few NRL games a year, but, you know, playing NRLW out of there, playing New South Wales Cup out of there, like, keeping rugby league as part of that community in that spot, in that ground, on that hill with that scoreboard, surely that's a good result for rugby league. I will just press you a little bit. As you say, you've been there much more than either of us have. Paul Kent was saying something, and, you know, I'm loathe to quote Paul Kent because he's a flog, but speaking of flog of the week, but he was saying there was some very clear amenity issues in terms of there's just not enough bars and staff to be able to serve patrons quick enough. You have to wait, you know, a long time for a beer or a long time to get to one of the portable loos or whatever, or the food stands. It really takes away from the experience. Is that your experience of being at Leichhardt, that, you know, you're not really going there for the pristine service, you're going there for the gritty suburban atmosphere?
I mean, yeah, I did see that segment on NRL 360. Now, there's one part that I think is like a fair comment that he makes, and there's one part which I is obviously hyperbolic, but, you know, it's the nature of NRL 360 and News Corp journalists generally. So I've been there. I've had to wait for a beer. I haven't had to wait half an hour, as he's claimed. Obviously, the service isn't as, you know, efficient as, you know, like a Combank, which is a stadium in Parramatta, or Allianz, or whatever the hell, right? But it's a different stadium. It's a suburban stadium. It's just naturally not going to be that way. But it's never been as hyperbolic as that, right? So it's, his claim was like, I went and got a beer and I missed three quarters of the first half. Like, that's, I just don't believe that's true. But anyway, but so yeah, I think he's embellishing the truth to make a greater point, whatever he is. And I also think some of it from Shane Richardson is trying to, I think he was trying to play a hand at getting funding, which hasn't, you know, doesn't seem like it's going to work out from this state government at least. But I will say the second part that he said, that it's, and to the point you said, it's not like a great family atmosphere, right? So if I can put it this way, an analogy that maybe like four people on earth will get. So like, if going to the BBL, the Big Bash League, that's like going to Allianz, then going to Leichhardt Oval is like going to the Sheffield Shield.
Yeah, it's the purest.
It's, yeah, you're not going to take your family. Like, you can take your family there. It's fine, right? It's not rough, but, you know, it's not the greatest if your kids aren't used to football, or, you know, you're taking your kid for the first time, that kind of thing, right? Or you want your kids to sit there and huff down a hot dog and burger and chips. Like, it's not that, right? He is right that, you know, the newer facilities are better for that, right? Like Combank, Allianz, that is true. But like you said, and a bit of a culture and like a football purist kind of thing, an atmosphere, it's magnificent for that. It's the most enjoyable ground I've ever watched footy at, especially as an adult. So there is like that purist part. Yeah, it's not the most family friendly, but it's not like it's anti-family friendly, but it's more, it sounds wankerish, but it's more like pure rugby league. It's more like a pure rugby league atmosphere and less of like a molded family, you know, image, if that makes sense. So, you know, and that's where I think the you know, where the beautiful part of it and the experience of it you know, that's where it comes from. It's very pure rugby league.
Mm. It's certainly on my bucket list. I wouldn't mind to watch a Cowboys game there one day and yell at first and from the hill. That would be fun. What about you, Kieran? Do you have any ambition to go to Leichhardt one day? And how do you feel about the idea of Leichhardt not having rugby league games anymore and maybe getting knocked down?
No, I completely agree with Chris. I think growing up, soccer was my favorite sport, and I can't recall a soccer ground that has like a hill, or like every soccer ground has a stadium, and it feels a little bit, it does take away from the atmosphere. It feels somewhat fake, I guess.
Yeah, maybe like not sanitized, fake, kind of plastic or something.
It just kind of takes away from that overall experience, I think. I went to Brookvale with Chris last year, and I remember thinking, shit, I don't want to stand for the entire 80 minutes. And I don't know, once you get in, you're like, I feel like, yeah, there's more, like they sell stadiums as having more of a family experience, and sure, kids don't want to stand for 80 minutes, but most kids don't really, a lot of kids that go probably don't really want to watch the whole game and whatever. And I felt like more of like a together feeling, being that I was standing around people. Like if I'm sitting in a stadium in my seat, I don't really want to talk to other people. I feel like I'm more focused on the game. But personally, at Brookvale, that's my experience standing with others. I felt like more open to talking to people.
Yeah, I've been a Brookie as well, and I'd say a similar thing. And it's the best place to cheer on Manly. I would say, well, actually, I can sort of segue into my wildcard award from here, considering that, Chris, you were talking about pure football. You know, it's pure at its most pure. So the Incredible Hulk Award for dragging multiple large men around goes to Chad Townsend, who outmuscled not one, not two, not three, but four Dragons defenders to the try line to score a try. And we can't credit anything else because no one fell for the dummy he threw. It wasn't very good. It was just pure brute strength from perhaps the strongest man on the planet, Chad Townsend. That's a typo. I didn't mean to say strongest, sorry. Strangest, from the strangest man on the planet, Chad Townsend. So the Incredible Hulk Award for dragging multiple large men around goes to Chad Townsend, who, by the way, will be getting a debut of a new nickname later on in the Big East segment. He calls him Chad Townsville. He thinks that's his name. So Chad Townsville, pure football, brilliance, brute strength. Carried four people across the trial. I couldn't believe it. I found myself cheering for the Chad. How's that? Boys, let's talk about, I want to introduce a new segment, and I think each week we can do a different type of take, a hard take, a soft take, a representative footy take, an origin take, you know, whatever. And this week, after the Titans got absolutely just annihilated by the Bulldogs, who are not a good team, I said in the group chat, boys, the Titans are a better team than this. And Chris shot me down in about 3 seconds with, when are you going to let go of this? And he's right. He's right. The Titans being a good team is my most delusional NRL take. I accept that they don't have David Fifita at the moment. They're going to be without Tino Fatsumala Aoi now, so it's going to be even harder for them. But I was convinced that this team would be pushing for the eight and, you know, maybe not in it, but pushing for it, you know, in that realm. And, three rounds in, their points differential is something like negative 50-something, and the only two teams they played are the Dragons and Bulldogs. It is atrocious. So my most delusional take in the NRL is that the Titans are a halfway good team. I'm clearly delusional. Chris, what is your most delusional take?
Mine's similar, but it's the inverse. So you two will enjoy this greatly, I think so. Mm-hmm. My take is that I need to accept that the Cowboys are a good team, I think. I've got them wrong. I've tipped them wrong for the first 3 weeks. And obviously they're 3 from 3, so I've tipped against them every week. And I was inclined to tip against them again this week, but I was like, why do I keep doing this? Now, I think overall, I think some of it's like a carryover from last year, but it's also, I don't like, it's hard to just, I don't know how to qualify. Like they just don't seem like a great team to me, but they keep, like they beat, obviously they put 46 on the Dragons. They came back against the Knights, I think it was the week before, and again, it wasn't a great performance, but it was a gritty performance. So,
yeah.
I think I kind of, I kind of rushed them off a bit because they, like, they're not massively defensively resilient, but they are an incredible attacking team, which, you know, that they, like, the Dragons game proved it was 46-24 or whatever it was, and they weren't behind. Mm. So, there's obviously some resilience there, and then they've got attacking firepower. And their forward pack is great. Tigers legend Sam McIntyre on the bench. So
he's playing well.
Great. Yeah. I mean, he was a good player for Tigers even when he was there for 3 seconds. So, I mean, I think that's my divisional take. I'm not ready to say like they're a premiership contender, but like, I think I had them out of the eight in my preseason predictions. I'm pretty happy to, I guess, renege on that and be like, they'll definitely make the top eight and that they're a pretty good team.
I'm glad to hear that. I think it's too early to call them premiership contenders as well. Look at the teams they beat. They flogged the Dragons, who we all tipped to be about wooden spooners, and they were behind by 14 points. And the Dragons bombed the second easiest try of the round with Faitala Mariner dropping a grubber kick over the line unchallenged. The only one that was an easier bomb was AJ Brimson passing to Kieran Foran for some reason with an open try line and Foran dropping it. That was the worst bomb try. But anyway, that's beside the point. They also flogged the Dolphins, who I don't think are a top eight team. And they struggled against the Knights, who were struggling themselves. So I'm not ecstatic about where they're at. I'm not confident for this week against the Broncos. But I would say, I'd say they're about a top eight team. Yeah, I think that's about right. Kieran, how do you feel about what Chris is saying? Does that sound about right to you that the Cowboys are a top eight team?
So my delusional take, which I think they're, I said at the start of the season, I thought they would come ninth or 10th. I'm still not feeling completely confident to say that they are a top eight team. I probably will just on the pure facts that I don't think there's eight other teams better than the Cowboys, but I agree so much with what both of you have said. Our defensive resilience is a huge worry. I genuinely have nightmares that if we were in a grand final tomorrow, that we would be winning. And in the last second, I hope Scott Drinkwater is not listening, but his defensive resolve would cost us the game if the other team broke through.
True.
Touching on that, I don't mean that to be an asshole to Drinkwater, but his defense is quite, and Chris pointed it out. Like Flanagan went through that huge hole against the Cowboys. That's not Drinkwater's fault, but the lack of Drinkwater even trying to make an effort at all. Like Flanagan's always going to score that try, but I guess with the 0.00, however many zeros you want to put, 1% that Flanagan trips, Drinkwater has to put in some effort to be there in case that happens, I guess. Like, that's being a bit harsh. But
same applies for Zach Lomax's first try, I think, where he strolls over, fair enough, and then everyone just, like, clocks off, and he just strolls around and scores near the post. And just like, well, where's Drinkwater? Where's Dearden? Where's, you know, where's the people marking him? Why aren't they putting some level of pressure on him to actually put the ball down out wide and make it a tough kick? Those little efforts will cost teams for sure. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'll just contribute. My thing on Drinkwater is that, like, if he just even becomes like an average defender, he's going to be such a better player overall because of it. And part of it is like some resolve and some toughness. Sometimes it just looks like he just doesn't. It's like the equivalent of like an NBA player that just focuses on their attack and shooting and then just doesn't give a shit about defense. That's what it comes across as sometimes, and that's where my main critique is, because he's such like an explosive attacking weapon. Just try to say, like, even if you're not naturally a great defender, just try a bit. I don't know, that's how it comes across to me.
He'd be a top five attacking fullback for sure. but that doesn't necessarily make him a top five fullback.
Well, yeah.
What's your delusional take, Kieran?
I mean, that my delusional take was that the Cowboys would be, it is a delusional take, I guess, now that the Cowboys would be a long shot to make the eight. As you touched on, their defense and against those three teams, like we've conceded, I don't have the ladder up, but we've conceded at least maybe 20 points on average per game against teams that are...
it's just over 20, yeah. It was 18, 20, and 24.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it hasn't... As Chris said, like, touching on Drinkwater, I mean, Matt Bowen was in the same position. I remember watching Matt Bowen. I thought he was a terrible defender when I first started watching the Cowboys. And then in 2004, 2005, I didn't think. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, it feels like he, like, almost overnight just became, like, so much better. Like, he still wasn't the best, but when he put... I don't know, like he could really put a hit on, shoulder charge people, and he really learned how to tackle. And I think Drinkwater would have hesitancy in attack at times just because he's probably doubting. He doesn't seem the player to really get too in his own head. He has that sort of James Maloney mold where he just gets on with the next play and the next play. But I agree completely with Chris. If he can just become an average defender, it's gonna change how he plays the game and increase his ability a lot more. I think the Cowboys look a bit flat despite the amount of points we have scored or they have scored. I'm not confident going into this or the Cowboys for the Cowboys going into this Friday night. I think we'll get into the eight, but there's so much work to do. Personally, I think I don't think they should be like crazy hard on themselves for it, but I would like to see a more defensive mindset this Friday.
The Drinkwater conversation is probably a good springboard into the main news I wanted to discuss, which is the Rabbitohs and how they are traveling so poorly. They started with a loss in Las Vegas to the Manly Sea Eagles after leading that game. They played fairly poorly against the Broncos and lost in round two. And then they were atrocious on Friday night against the Roosters. It was bafflingly bad. And the Roosters were very, very good, but the Rabbitohs were very, very poor. And we talk about Drinkwater and how explosive he is in attack, but how he sometimes just lacks... I think he has pretty good footy smarts as well, but just like outside looking in, it looks like a lack of effort on occasions. And that exact criticism can be applied to Latrell Mitchell, who is probably one of the best players in the game when he's on. Chris, is this panic stations for the Rabbitohs with those three losses? They've got the Bulldogs this Friday on Good Friday. The Bulldogs just won 32-0 against maybe a team with no arms and legs, the Titans. But do you think that this is like really a time to worry for the Rabbitohs? And if it is, what can they do to fix it, do you think?
It's approaching that point, I would argue. It's starting to get pretty concerning. Some of the old cliches are being thrown around Jason Demetriou, which is, I guess, somewhat concerning.
Support of the board and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so well, I'm the guy to turn this around. That's a quote famously said by the guy who's not the person to turn it around. So it's getting that way. Three losses. Look, teams sometimes just get off the bad starts. That just happens in sport sometimes. But, yeah, this is concerning. The last week's performance was just, like, to, after all that and to come out and lose 48-6, like, it wasn't even close.
Mm.
And that's the concerning part, I guess. And then, look, I would say it's getting that way. If they lose this week to the Bulldogs, I think it's going to be go time. I think this week is massive for their season. Of course, 1-3 is not horrific. There's still, some kind of hope. They just need to grind out a win this week. Have they turned it around? I feel like I get a lot of Latrell Mitchell. It's a lot of criticism on Latrell Mitchell. I don't think he's been awful. I think teams have had a good game plan against him.
Mm.
But you are right. There are some effort areas which are you can critique him for. They don't have that good of a forward pack, or not like an effective forward pack, which I think is limiting them because it's putting pressure on the two halfbacks. So Ilias, who's now gone, and Hawkins. I think that's one of the main issues here. And they're just like, I think like the outside backs, they're missing Campbell Graham. Obviously, Jack Wyatt's back now. So those are a little bit of size. So you have Jack Wyatt's back, that'll add size. Campbell Graham's a big loss. I believe they've been starting Richard Kenner. Is that like he's been starting, right? He's not a first grader, in my opinion. So
yeah, he was on the left edge until Jack Wyatt returned.
They're just going to have to grind it out. It sounds simple, but just everything isn't working. They just need to get in the fight in some of these games. And that'll show that. And that's been the biggest, I guess, criticism. It's just like a lack of heart. They just seem to get rolled. And one thing goes wrong and everything's out. And it's just sometimes you're going to win ugly. And then, you know, the fluidity in that will come with momentum later in the year, which is when it really matters. But you need points on the board and they can't do that at the moment. So I wouldn't say the fire alarms are ringing yet, but they're not far off.
Kieran, same question to you, but I'll frame it in the sense that we have seen this before. You know, like Manly in 2020 lost the first few games of their season there or thereabouts. I think their first win might have been round four. And then they went on a bit of a run because, you know, Tom Trbojevic exploded. We saw the Knights last year, pretty poor to start the season. It's poorish. And then romped their way into fifth position on the back of KP. We saw the Cowboys win a comp in 2015 after losing their first three games. Their round four victory against the Storm was in Golden Point, and that was pretty miraculous circumstances. But I think there's a different flavor here. Like, to use the Cowboys as an example, you can win the comp from this position, but they had Jonathan Thurston. They'd been in the finals the previous few years. You know, there was always a sense of confidence that this roster was capable of doing it. Whereas the Rabbitohs, there is a sense of confidence that the roster can do it, but they didn't make finals last year. They bombed out. I think Chris mentioned they've won something like four of their last almost 20 games. Are you a bit concerned that they're going to bundle their way out and not be a factor this year? Or do you have the confidence that they can pull a Seagulls, Knights, Cowboys and turn it around?
They have leaders in their team. I think Latrell Mitchell can lead a team and do a Jared Hayne, a Benji Marshall, have that kind of a season where they put the team on their back. It does seem a bit like, I think the Drinkwater and Latrell Mitchell criticism, it feels like they both understand their strengths a lot and they just kind of stick to that a bit too much rather than putting their effort into their deficiencies or their weaker points. I think if they focused a bit more on that and then also focused on understanding their team, like the individual players in their team, their weaknesses and strengths a bit more, because it feels a bit like to me like Drinkwater and Latrell Mitchell at times aren't able to bring the best out of others, but they're both clearly able to lead a team at different points in matches. And I think they try to do it solo a little bit too much personally, which I don't think that helps. Like Latrell has put in, he's ran for the most meters of any Rabbitoh this season, broken the most tackles. And these are pretty basic metrics, but it shows that he is at least trying. He's not doing nothing, but I think, I don't know. I feel like Cody and Cook, they're pretty old now. But for me, they're not standing up as much. It just feels like the whole team doesn't know how to gel. Like, I feel like they don't understand each other's roles and how to, combine with each other. To me, that comes back to coaching to assist the players understanding each other's game, a little more to execute a bit better. They've obviously got a lot of players that like to play a bit more off the cuff, but I think they need to rein that in a small bit. And I think they're missing a bit of structure in how they should play, but they're also missing a bit of understanding of what exactly each other's role is.
I think the long story short is that we all agree that the Rabbitohs have some class there. I think there is some deficiency in their forward pack, and it seems like, I mean, Friendy has said this before, Father Time is undefeated. And you look at people like Cody Walker and Damian Cook, maybe they're not as effective as they used to be. Either way, however you fall on this, whether you think the Rabbitohs are cooked or whether you think that they are indeed a great chance of steaming back into the finals from this point, I think we need to start winning games in round four against the Bulldogs this Friday. So let's go to the Big E and see what he thinks about all this.
G'day, boys. This is the Big E. I am going to give my Big E Phenomenal Tip of the Week. The first match I am going to tip is actually also at the Roosters home ground, which I've been at before. I'm actually going to tip the Roosters to win against the Pandas. Sorry, Monique, I'm not going to tip your team again. I'm going to tip the Rabbitohs against the Bulldogs. And I'm also going to tip the Cowboys against the Broncos. That is my Big E, been known to tip of the week. And of course, yes, the Big E and the Big B is going to be at Soccer Stadium. Here we come, baby. Let's go, Cowboys. Other tip, I'm going to tip Manly Seagulls. And also tipping the Dolphins. I'm going to tip the Warriors, Sharks, and going to tip the Panama Eels. That is my Big E Phenomenal Tip of the Week, boys. And, oh, yeah, and also my wild card, I am going to say congratulations to Canberra Bulldogs, 32-0. Congratulations. And my bold prediction, I am going to say Chancellor. Get four tries, and Funny Time Holmes will get a winning goal. That is the Big E, boys. And of course, knock knock, who's there? Big E, Big E who? Big E out. What, what? Just a Big E, baby. Enjoy the pod. And yes, hello, Luca.
Oh, gosh. The Big E. He's an absolute card, the Big E. So he's got Chad Townsville / Chad Townsend down to score four tries. He liked what he saw from the Chad, and he's got him in for four tries. I tell you what, Big E, if he scores four tries, I will shout you a burger on the way home from the game on Friday night, my friend. That is a promise. You've got it here on record. I will shout you a burger if Chad Townsend scores four tries. What the heckity heck? It's worth listening to the Big E. He got 5 out of 8 last week. He did have a late change from the Tigers to the Sharks. He would have had 6 if he tipped the Tigers. And he's still the only one of us to get a perfect round so far this season. So thank you, Big E. Let's look forward to round four. I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on what the game of the round is going to be coming up. Chris, what game are you most excited to see this week?
I am most excited to see the Roosters and the Panthers, which I think is a bit of the straightforward game. But Roosters have been more of the team this year that I think many expected last year. Very impressive. Mm. And the Panthers are the Panthers. Obviously Cleary's out for a bit, but I don't think that's any reason to. I mean, obviously it's a massive factor, but the Panthers, they have the great system. And as we know, Brad Schneider is about to land a 3-year deal next year somewhere, because that's how that's what always happens in the backup Panthers. So very keen to watch that one. And also the Eels and the Tigers, because I'm going to that game, I'm fairly certain.
Oh, lovely. Correct me if I'm wrong. The last time you went to an Eels-Tigers game, the Tigers won in Golden Point a couple of years ago?
No, that was the second last one I went to. So, yes, they did win 21-20. Jackson Hastings, Tigers legend, New South Wales Cup legend, hit the field goal. So hopefully a repeat of that would be good.
That would be lovely. Kieran, what game are you looking forward to the most? What's your game of the round?
The Roosters-Panthers as well. I mean, I could easily say the Broncos-Cowboys, but I'll say the Roosters-Panthers. On the Broncos-Cowboys game, though, there hasn't been a game decided by 6 points or less between those two for, I think, 3 years, since 2021. Mm. So I was going to go that game for that reason. I think it will be a close game, but I'm looking forward to the Roosters-Panthers one from a rugby league perspective a bit more.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see how that one goes, because no Nathan Cleary. We've seen the Panthers stand up before, but this is a huge test. The Roosters are in great form, and Tedesco was your player of the week. So I'm looking forward to that. Also, no James Fisher-Harris. It's worth mentioning. The guy's a freak. Yeah, I don't know. That one will be a good game, I hope. My game of the round will be the Broncos-Cowboys. I am biased, of course, the Cowboys, but I am also going to the game, as the Big E mentioned. He calls me the Big B. So in fact, you guys would have seen a photo of that little bracelet thing that he made with all of our letters on it. So you're the big W, Chris, for wearing, and big K is Kieran, and big B and big M for Miles, and big F for Friendly. We were all on there. And he actually ended up giving me that little thing. It doesn't fit around my wrist, so it sits in my car, but that's very nice. But anyway, so the big B and the big E heading into Suncorp Stadium on Friday. So I am most certainly looking forward to that game, and I've got a feeling like you, Kieran, that it will be a close one. Boys, we're going to do tips a little bit differently this week than what we usually do. I'm going to ask you guys just to give me all your tips in one fell swoop. And if you want to explain your tips along the way, feel free to. For about a minute or so. Last week, Chris, you got 4 out of 8, and Kieran, you got 4 out of 8 as well. I got 6 out of 8. So everyone should listen to me. But before they do listen to me, Kieran, why don't you give us your 8 tips for this week?
I just checked before. I actually got 5 out of 8, and I got the first 5 games right, and then the last 3 wrong. But
shit the bed. Yeah.
I've tipped the Roosters. I've tipped the Rabbitohs. I've tipped the Cowboys without any bias. I've tipped the Sea Eagles, the Dolphins, the Knights, I've tipped the Knight. I'm going to change to the Warriors right now because I've tipped the Raiders and the Eels.
There's a few tight ones in there. I had a bit of trouble myself. What about you, Chris? What are your tips for this week?
I'm going to go the Roosters. To think Cleary will make a minor difference. I'm going to go the Rabbitohs. I'm going to go the Cowboys just to not contradict my whole fucking thing earlier. So that means they're also probably guaranteed to lose this week.
Yeah, thank you.
Which my prediction next week will be actually the Cowboys suck. I'm going to go the Seagulls. I'm going to go the Dolphins. I'm going to go the Warriors. I'm going to go the Sharks. And, oh, God.
Yeah.
Logically, my brain says the Eels are going to win. So, there we go. But sometimes when I go to the game, I feel weird. I have to tip the Tigers if I'm going. But my brain says the Eels will win.
All right. I have gone a little bit different on some of them, but same on some of them as well. So I've gone for the Roosters, same as you, Chris, and I assume for you, Kieran, as well. No Cleary makes a big difference there. The Roosters are in great form. I'm going for the Rabbitohs. It's on pure faith at this point. They've shown us nothing, but they've got to beat. They have to start winning. Cowboys, heart tip, but also probably a head tip. No Rhys Walsh makes a big difference. Sea Eagles against the Dragons. The Sea Eagles have just been so much more impressive. Dolphins against the Titans. My delusional take, I've given up on it. Until they start showing me something, I can't tip them. Warriors at home against the Knights. I'm also going to go for the Raiders with you, Kieran. I saw the Sharks were like short price favorites for that game for a while there, and I was a bit confused by that. I thought the Raiders had at least a 50-50 bet there. And I'm going to go for the Tigers. And the reason I'm going to go for the Tigers is obviously they were very impressive on Saturday night. But no Mitchell Moses for the Eels, I think, makes a really big difference. Dylan Brown will be your on-ball general now. And Blaise Talangi has moved into 5/8. And he's played a bit of 5/8 coming through schoolboys and all that sort of stuff. So it's not like he's never played the position before. But he had some defensive lapses last week against the Sea Eagles that cost them some points. You'd bet your bottom dollar that if Benji's worth his salt, he'll be sending Galvin and Caesar and Coruscant straight at him as often as possible if I was them. So I'm going to go for the Tigers. Why not? I'm gonna back in your boys, Chris. That might be a bold prediction. Who knows? But to finish off the episode, I just want to say a big thank you to the Big E for his contribution, and to everyone for listening, and especially to you, Kieran, and you, Chris, for joining me tonight. Chris, before you go, you didn't quite get your bold prediction last week. You said the Bulldogs and Titans would be a low scorer, and it was not. So what is your bold prediction this week?
Nico Hines will get the 3 points in the Dally M. No, I'm just kidding.
and it's 6 points now, by the way.
Yeah, 6 points. Yeah. I'm going to go. I'm going to go the inverse of my one the other week. So I think there will be a bit of a shootout. So I think the Broncos and Cowboys will be a bit of a shootout. So I reckon there's going to be over 40 points scored total in that game.
Okay.
For the Cowboys victory.
Yeah, like 40-0 Cowboys, like that. That sounds good. that sounds good to me. Kieran Gibson, thanks for joining us tonight. Last week, you also went for a low scorer with the Roosters and Rabbitohs this time, and that, of course, was not the Roosters flogged them. So how are you going to redeem yourself this week with a bold prediction?
I'm thinking this could come back to bite me really, really hard, but I'm going to say that the Dolphins win by 20 points plus, and I did just read that David Fifita is possibly going to leave by round 10 as well.
Yeah, he has a clause in his contract that he can exercise if he chooses to. So we'll see how that plays out. He's not playing this week, I believe. So Dolphins 20 plus for Kieran Gibson. Points fest for the Broncos Cowboys for you, Chris. Last week, I said that Taylor May was going to score 2 tries. He did not. He scored 0. So I was incorrect. I'm going to redeem myself this week by tipping the Raiders will beat the Sharks by 4 points or less in a game with less than 30 points total. So I'm expecting a bit of a slugfest, a defensive grind, a slow start from both teams, and the Raiders to win a tight one. Boys, thank you both very much for your company tonight. And thank you to all the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, please give us a like, subscribe, tell a friend, please, so they can go above the horizontal next week. But until then. Above the Horizontal is a rugby league podcast by the fans and for the fans. It's produced by our entire team of former writers for Real Sport, including Daniel Friend, Christopher Waring, Miles Steppen, Kieran Gibson, and me, Bo Nicholson. We'd love it if you could support us by telling a rugby league fan about us so they can go above the horizontal as well. Thanks for listening. See you next time.